And all right, so what I would like from you, if you would be so kind, is just read the first sentence.
I don't know why this is so funny to me. Okay, it's not a funny sentence.
Nope.
Okay. So far, it had been a fun summer.
That's it. There's no poems in these books. So that's all we got.
That's all we got.
And first I was like, I'll just have you read the first paragraph. But man, it doesn't like go anywhere. Like, it's a slow build up to anything happening. So I was like, I guess just there you go. Should we begin the episode?
I believe so, yes.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are back with the Stepping Stone book series. That's right, these weird sort of chapter books that I didn't even know existed until just a few months ago are rapidly becoming my favorite part of Berenstain Bears lore, because they're not quite the chapter books, they're not quite the story books, but they've got a whole lot going on with them. A lot of stories that don't quite wrap themselves up as nicely as they probably should. And we're also back with more sports-focused plotting. Last week it was Sister Bear not being allowed to play soccer. This week it is Brother Bear being allowed to play basketball, but maybe the wrong basketball. That'll make sense in just a minute. Yes, we're talking about 2001's The Wrong Crowd. And who could I talk about this with except... I don't know how to, I was going to try to tie it in and say like a member of their own wrong crowd, but I don't know what that means. someone who you might think would steal cigarettes and smoke them in a haunted house. I don't know. Like, I don't even know what this book's about anymore, but ladies and gentlemen, it's been 2 years, I believe, since she has been on the show. Too long, 2 years. Please welcome back to the show the co-host of Let's Get Weirding, which we will explain later on in the show, Megan Sunday. Hello, Megan.
Hello. I'm excited to be back.
I think the last time you were on, we discussed the crystal ball, the fact that the fact that suddenly we were aware that magic existed in Bear Country.
There was suddenly magic and radiation.
Yeah, right. There was all kinds of weird science going on in that book.
Very much so.
Well, absolutely no science going on in this book. So I read this book and I was like, I need someone who will latch on to the irreverent plotting and bizarre, like, you get what they're going for, but they go about it in a really roundabout way.
Very much so. This book has so many plot lines that lead to nothing.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, it's just, I don't know, these bears are kind of bad.
Yeah. So the big focus of this book is Tootall and the gang, who run the gamut in Bear Country from the school drug dealers to, like, just kind of jerks on the playground. Like, you never know with a Tootall story where on this continuum you're going to fall. And where did we fall in this one?
They live in the forest where they strip other bears of their clothes if they trespass on their property. And I think they're possibly cooking meth.
Right. They possibly have a meth shack.
Because even if you're smoking a lot of cigarettes, it does not cause smoke to come out of a chimney.
Yes.
That's not how smoking cigarettes works.
They seem to have pilfered a junkyard.
Uh-huh. And they're playing, I guess, illegal basketball?
Right. I was going to point out that it's weird that they had to steal stuff from a junkyard, considering that Tootall's father, Tooton Grizzly, owns the neighborhood junkyard.
He's just trying to rebel.
I guess, like, you're just stealing from your old man. Like, you probably just could have, like, asked him for the junkyard that Tooton owns everything is made out of junk. So it's not even like that would be an odd, like the office is like a repurposed like trailer. So it's just none of this, like, obviously it's its own continuity. But in any case, why don't you explain to us what this book is actually about?
So Brother Bear stands up to Too Tall, sort of, which impresses him. He later goes to their secret clubhouse and proves that he's pretty good at basketball. And they have been losing in their secret basketball games against other gangs.
Right.
So Too Tall invites Brother to join the gang. He also ropes it. Brother ropes in their cousin.
Fred, yeah.
Fred.
Who apparently is a good basketball player now. I never knew this.
Apparently. And then it turns out that the initiation to this gang is to smoke 10 cigarettes in a row.
Yeah.
The stolen cigarettes that they keep in a different shack.
Right.
And Sister, meanwhile, is incredibly nosy and codependent with her brother, follows him into the woods, discovers everything that's happening, but then they all just get arrested at the end, except for Brother.
Except for Brother. Right. So, and this takes place over like several days.
Yeah. No lessons have been learned, except that smoking 10 cigarettes in a row will probably make you a little sick.
And also, Sister gets quite banged up in this book. She comes out the worst for everything. The first scene is Sister being tormented by Too Tall. He like rips the bow out of her hair and tosses it up in a tree, which also supports the notion that this bow is just a single unit. Like, it's not it's not a tied bow.
It's one of those JoJo bows.
What's a JoJo bow?
There's that like children's television personality, I believe she is, JoJo. She has the big ponytail.
Siwa.
Forget her last name.
Siwa.
Yes. She sells those bows. Well, so far we have avoided those in my house. My daughter does eye them at the store, but
well, she recently had her birthday and she got rid of the bow.
Oh, well then.
And let her hair down. And now she's all like, I'm a real human being now.
Her scalp must feel amazing.
I know.
It looked very painful, but very sparkly. So
yes, and easily removable bows.
Apparently. There's a teacher on the playground who's doing nothing.
Is there? I don't remember the teacher.
Teacher Jane is there, but she's just kind of going, hey, don't do that, Too Tall.
Teacher Jane is... So Teacher Jane is also the scout leader. And when she's the scout leader, she's awesome. But when she's the teacher, she's utterly useless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of staring in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Brother's always staring after the Too Tall gang. When he's going to join the gang, he's just wandering like the paths, staring.
Yeah.
And Sister tries to talk to him, and he's just not looking at her. Fred later, the same thing. It's like
that is totally in keeping with Brother's character, though, because we all know that Brother is the like introverted. He's thoughtful. He turns inside and he takes no action. He never takes action until the last possible. That's like a Brother thing. Sister's the doer in the family.
Yeah.
Like, she will follow you into the woods to find out what's going on.
With her little Harriet the Spy notebook.
Yes.
In which she's writing down everything he does.
Yeah, the last few of these, like, Stepping Stone books have been very sister-centric. And I'm just like, I'm becoming very team sister because... She, A, gets the short end of every single stick in the family, and also she's the only one who tries to do anything about anything. So, I love Sister. I love her to death. But yeah, so Brother's just like, like you said, Too Tall starts coming on to Brother as only a bully in need of a good basketball player will. Does he tell Brother to come try out for basketball, or does he just tell him to join him in the woods?
He just says... Come to our court in the woods behind the junkyard. She's like, no, Brother, don't. That's murdering territory.
Want to play some real basketball? I'm like, what's real basketball?
There's a lot of very, and this is possibly just me reading too much into it, but like later when one of them says shooting hoops and Mama and Papa are like, well, what does that mean? It's just a little like, oh, those urban kid bears. With their, you know, junkyard courts and they're shooting hoops and it's like, oh.
And I'm like, this is 2001. Like, if nothing else, like Space Jam had been in and out of theaters by this point. Like, we knew what basketball was. It was definitely a part of the culture.
I mean, shooting hoops is the most obvious nickname for a game that there could be.
Yeah. It's not going to be like I'm going to go like catch some air or like basketball.
I don't know anything about basketball either.
I'm not going to go like tread the polished wood.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a I don't know. I'm trying, what, does basketball courts are made out of wood and or they were back in like the 1940s. So this is where we discover that Too Tall has quite the collection of pants.
There's just pants hanging from the trees that they steal from trespassing bears. I assume mostly kids, but who knows, adults as well. There could be.
So that means that at some point young children are running home pantsless.
And their parents are just like, well, that's weird.
Like, where were you? I don't know.
Is this Dairy Maine?
Too Tall is very much a Stephen King bully at times.
Oh, they all are. The adults are also afraid of them.
Yep.
They're a little too mean and nasty.
Mm-hmm. They are stuck in a decade they do not exist in.
Nope. And they are out in the woods.
They're out of the woods. Yeah, they're...
Secret shed.
Stephen King bullies, like... I had this conversation, I think, on Twitter not too long ago, which is like, bullies that I grew up with were frequently like, they weren't 24-hour bullies. They could be the nice guy, and then all of a sudden they'd like turn on you. Like, you never really knew like who the bully was going to be that week, but it was, and it could be like the most like just straight-laced person at the school, and then all of a sudden they were your bully. And Stephen King bullies exist in this world where they are all greasers.
Yes.
Like, whether they existed in the 30s, the 40s, up to today. And they all simply want to murder people.
They want to murder people. They'll get their switchblade out and they'll be holding it at your throat in front of your locker in a crowded hallway. And the principal will walk by and they'll just be like, keep walking. And he will.
Yeah.
Much like Teacher Jane, actually.
It's weird because, like, yes, I fully accept and I understand that there are bullies who are like that. There are very violent bullies out there. But, like, Maine is populated by these bullies and they grow up to be, like, that Stephen King, like, there's something wrong with the handyman or there's something wrong with the car repair guy. Like, Stephen King's weird, like, obsession with, like, people in, like, blue-collar jobs being some kind of, like, scumbag.
Either that or, you know, yeah, the hometown hero. Just like, you're so pure.
I thought the hometown hero was always an author.
It depends.
Who returned to the town.
Not Stu from The Stand, who I would argue is like the hero of heroes.
The hero of heroes, but he also rose above the other blue collar members of his town by being so pure that he could not catch the super flu.
Too Tall in the gang would all, if they'd all catch the super flu at first, they would burn things down.
No, I was going to say, they would all catch the super flu except, like, Smirk. Smirk would be the one who, like, survived. And he wouldn't know what to do after Too Tall was dead. So he'd, like, join the walk-in dude in Las Vegas. I guess that's where we're going with this conversation.
He absolutely would.
The walk-in bear.
Oh, no. I just pictured that. Just a bear in a jean jacket.
This has been Stephen King Talk. A new segment we're doing on the show.
None of the other bullies want Brother around, which causes such strange sequences where they're basically about to torment him and like rip his pants off and chase him out of the forest. And then Too Tall just shows up and starts like throwing them around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, these are bears. These are children bears. Like, okay, thanks for that.
We find out that their team is called the Junkyard Dogs.
Okay. They
own dogs. Like, dogs exist in the bear world. But they're going to be playing the West Side Thugs. And I don't know the West Side of where? Big Bear City, maybe?
I don't know. And why are they all just meeting in the forest? Who are these roving gangs?
What is this? Okay, so we just covered the Sister Bear-centric book, Sister Bear, Too Small for the Team. And no, it wasn't even Too Small for the Team. It was the one before that where Papa Bear wouldn't let Sister join the baseball team. And you find out that Brother has been sneaking away to join a secret baseball team that exists out in the woods. So maybe this is a thing that happens in bear country. Like, if you want to avoid, like, mainstream sporting, you got to run into the woods and there's going to be bears playing that
forbidden sports.
Yeah. And they're the fun versions of the sports. Like, the baseball game was like fun baseball, not official Little League baseball, but like, we're just having a good time out here. And so I assume that the bully basketball is like fun basketball with a lot of fouls.
I like that only Tuttle's taking it seriously, but they've never heard of having a bench. Uh-huh. They only have their gang, and it has to be Brother who says, you know, it's usually helpful if you have some backup players.
Right, right.
But just the thought.
You can't play big-time basketball with just 5 players.
Sure, in the woods.
I think that's rule number one.
And Tuttle, unsurprisingly, not a good loser.
No. But this is where they bring in Cousin Fred. who may be small, but he's no twerp. He's fast, and he can run all day.
This is when the smoke starts coming out of the tailpipe chimney of their house, and Brother's like, oh, it's cigarette smoke. It's true that they're smoking. Like, that's not how cigarette smoke works. It's not coming out of the window or the door.
Right.
It's coming out of the chimney pipe, which is
and
why
it's not coming out in, like, puffs. It's coming out in like a steady stream.
No, they're making something else in there.
Yeah.
It's a side business.
Or maybe they have like a hookah? Or a
it still doesn't come out of your chimney.
That's right. It wouldn't come out of the chimney. I'm trying to think of what elaborate smoking machine Vinny or Scuzz has created that will like just pump cigarette smoke at a constant just so they can just sit there and inhale the nicotine and like sort of get that buzz that like early smokers still get.
And nothing is more refreshing after a rousing game of basketball than a cigarette.
The cigarette. Pop culturally speaking, I don't know much about sports, but I know that I always relate a good game with a long smoke, especially in 2001.
I mean, to be fair, when I played roller derby, there were people who smoked who would play and then smoke. Mm-hmm. And it was always just like, I can't breathe. I don't know how that's working out, but good for you. Maybe we could all drink some water. Then he has, this is when Brother adopts his bad bear walk.
Yes.
Which,
if he was going to hang out with tough guys, he figured he may as well have a bad walk. And how do they describe this bad walk?
He leans forward and bends his knees.
Which,
so he's
I
just
have
kind
trouble
of shuffling.
Man. Yeah. But like, is it like a waddle? Like, if I walked with my knees bent, it's going to come. Is it like, pretend you're riding a bicycle?
I mean, later Fred kind of calls him out on it, but we don't really get a very good description. Fred's just like, oh, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing that? He immediately adopts this walk, but is this a new development that Sister has her own room? Because they've spent a lot of time of Sister being like, I am all by myself in this room.
It was funny because we have a picture here of Sister not being able to sleep and then waking up the next morning. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why it was weird. And I think it is because traditionally we see them in the bunk beds.
Yeah.
But I think in the chapter books they establish that they have separate rooms because they're supposed to be a little bit older.
Well, until they have that baby, I guess.
Right. Well, they have – well, God, it's
no,
weird.
She's so not.
This is 2001. Honey exists, but not in this continuity, so.
They can't have her near cigarettes. My God.
Right. We can't have Honey Bear in a cigarette story. Keep that baby away. But it says
that
here.
That was the biggest thing that I noticed when I got some of these out of the library for my daughter. That was the biggest leap was when I was reading one. I was like, wait, who's that?
They only added Honey Bear so they could redo the whole, like, Where Babies Come From book, since the original, the new baby was so, like, what is this even about? Like, it didn't make any, like, it didn't really fill in any blanks. So, they, of course, they had to do another new baby book, so they did The Birds and the Bees and the Berenstain Bears, which was a much better book about babies being born. But then they were stuck with this baby who, like, didn't do anything. She just had to be there. And then they started rewriting the books for like new audiences, and they would have to like Mike would have to go back and like add Honey in Mama's arms or in Papa's arms.
No.
Like, but she would never get mentioned in the plots, like because they weren't going to change the script. They would just add Honey in the background.
The one I liked the best was brother and sister were entertaining her so that mama could make dinner. And even though honey was clearly old enough to be walking and somewhat talking, they acted as if they'd never played with the baby before. They're like, wow, honey loves to play blocks. Honey's cool to like talk to. It's like this baby's been living in your house for, I'm guessing, about 18 months.
I was gonna say, yeah, she's about a year and a half old. Kids, we were your mama and I were gonna make you play with her at some point, but I
Yeah,
guess it's good
you
that you
have to
figured this
talk
out
to
on
the
your own.
baby.
Right.
Sorry, we have to.
So we do get a
But
couple of paragraphs talking about their rooms and how much sister likes having her own room. So maybe this is like the introduction of like just
she's
so you're not f
also
freaked out.
anxious. You know, she likes not having like his boy stuff everywhere, but it's also a little scary. That has nothing to do with the plot. It's just her being like, that was weird.
There's a clown doll under her bed.
And then this is where she starts keeping tabs on her brother.
She listens to the tick-tock of the pussycat clock on the wall, which is awesome. I love the pussycat clock. That has the eyes and the tail that go from side to side.
I like how this one is a full-on seated cat. Like, that's a big clock in this picture.
This is not your Felix the Cat clock. This is
No, this is
this
a
is an
cat.
a cat-sized clock. It's a piece of it's a real mechanism.
She's very
So
worried about
then
brother.
yeah, so then we just got a bunch of plot of us like sister being worried about what's going on with brother and cousin Fred like getting roped into the whole basketball business.
And this whole sequence bugged me because so brother's just doing his staring. Sister's trying to talk to him and say like, "Oh, let's hang out today. Let's do something." And he's just staring. This is when he says he's gonna shoot some hoops with cousin Fred. She has to explain for mama what that means. Brother's ignoring everyone. He leaves. And when they're both discussing then if something's up with brother, it turns out Papa wasn't paying any attention either.
You're right.
So it takes what could have just been, oh, well, brother's got something on his mind to just all the men in this family. Meh.
Just
All right,
out. Just
don't talk to
checked
them in
out.
the morning.
Nope. Or, if you're dealing with Papa at all,
No, never. Mm-mm.
because he's sort of just,
Mm-mm.
he's either going to ignore you or he's going to start screaming for some reason.
Or immediately assuming you were in some way like jumped, which is what happens later in the book.
Right. Well, it wouldn't have been the first time canonically that had happened. So,
Oh.
at this point, I should mention that we have dealt with this almost same plot in an old book called The Berenstain Bears and the Double Dare. And that's an old storybook where Brother gets mixed up with Too Tall and the gang, and he wants to be cool like Too Tall and the gang. So they dare him to steal pumpkins from Farmer Ben's pumpkin patch, is the whole like. It's a
Oh my
simple little
gosh.
storybook. It's one of the classic first time books, and that's where like they get caught, and I think like they get slapped on the wrist, and it's like don't do it, Farmer Ben's our friend,
I
and
don't know
so
what's
we,
going to happen to them at the end of this book, by the
I don't
way.
know,
This is like.
but this book is like let's take that basic idea and just up the stakes a lot. Let's really get the law involved.
Yeah, sister runs into Fred, who was on his way to ask brother if he wanted to go fishing, thus proving that brother was lying. This is when she's like, something is up. I think it has to do with Too Tall. I forget why she jumps to that conclusion. Just
Because
cause.
brother's been slouching.
Oh, that's right, because he's been walking weird and she thinks
He's
it
been
looks like
walking
Too
weird.
Tall.
He's got that gang walk.
I really don't think that that's a thing for
No.
bears. Like, I don't. Especially not when he's being described as doing.
So then brother mentions the Too Tall situation to Fred, and Fred
Oh my
flips
God.
out on him.
He is not comfortable with this line of discussion.
No.
I think he's worried that they're listening in.
Yeah, but the allure of playing real basketball is a little too much for Fred to resist.
It's also weird because Fred says, well, how can you even think about getting mixed up with the Too Tall gang? And brother just smiled.
Let's see if you can stop my best move.
What are
Like,
you?
wait. Way to deflect.
Yikes.
And so, yeah, brother challenges Fred's like masculinity, and
Yep.
they head into the scary woods. And
He
this is
doesn't
where.
tell him about the pants.
Nope. And he says that he and Too Tall are like this. And he crosses his fingers, and you're like, they should never draw the bears with their fingers crossed,
No.
because those little sausage fingers move in weird ways when you
They
have to
do.
when you have to cross them over each other.
And you could also just say he crossed his fingers. I don't think that they needed to describe
it.
Well, it's described with a lot of extraneous words.
He crossed his middle finger
over his index finger. Like, yeah,
this
that's
is how close
fingers.
We are. He doesn't say, just say, we're like this, and crossed his fingers. He says, we're like this, carefully crosses his fingers atop each other, and then says, that's how close we are.
But then, Fred, this is where I thought that this might have been the rewritten version.
Yeah, no, but...
Fred says, he who lies down with dogs gets up with fleas. Okay, Fred.
He who lies down with dogs gets up with fleas. And then brother comes back with another rejoinder.
There are no fleas on me.
But there's no fleas on me.
You're like 10 years old. Yeah. This is again very Stephen King. It's like, I don't know if the youth are really
laying
down the aphorisms.
We're like 5 minutes away from them coming up with a made up slang term that'll then get like hurled around for the rest of the story.
Well, Fred does notice the pants, but brother just ignores him, which mm-hmm. I would find more alarming if I were Fred.
Yeah, brother did not tell Fred about the pants. Fred was scared enough as it was.
This is not okay. of all things.
So they practice with the bullies, with the gang members, and then that's when Fred says, "Why are you walking funny? Are your shorts caught?"
Oh.
And brother says, I'm not walking funny. That's the way I walk. To which Fred responds,
And speaking of underwear, like, no, Fred, just stop there. Just, nope.
Yeah.
And also, they weren't talking about underwear. Well, yeah, they were, because he said, Fred's like, they're going to steal our pants and send us home in our underwear.
And then we learn a lot about Sister's art project.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like this was a lot of, we have to have Sister doing something. I don't know. Yeah, what's Sister doing?
They have to give us, a reason for her to, like, be where she is
mm-hmm.
when, like, but she could just be outside. Like, instead, we get this whole story about how she, like, has a pickle jar and Lizzie has a jelly jar and they're going to make vases by pressing
play. She had to wash the pickle jar a lot because mm-hmm. the pickle smell. It's like, yes, okay,
And they're going to paint their jar certain colors. And then she's going to put Mama's tiger lilies. And so she...
And Lizzie's going to do dents all over the clay and paint each dent a different color. And these poor mother bears are going to get some hideous DIY. And they're going to have to put it out.
Yes. For at least a year.
Oh, yeah. Until she forgets, stops asking about it.
Until it accidentally gets knocked off the shelf.
Papa throws it across the room in a bit of rage or something.
Brother and Fred walk by, and they're walking funny.
Just talking about secret basketball out loud.
Yeah. And then we get this whole, like, extended sequence of Sister journaling.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this book... Okay, so they are taking a premise, and they are just stretching this premise as much as they can. Like, we get the inner life of Sister's art world, and now we're getting the, like, Sister's secret diary.
Oh, Sister kept a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote this time. She's been drawing pictures. Brother's still acting like a jerk. Going to find out about it tomorrow.
It's a good thing she wrote that down.
It's a good thing, like, she's keeping that eye on her brother.
It would be one thing if Sister ended up disappearing in the woods and they had to use her diary to find her. Like, did she write anything down about where she's going? And it's like going to the old spooky clubhouse in the woods.
Yeah.
But no, the book never comes back, and neither does her clay project.
It does at the very end. That's like our closing shot is her notebook.
Oh, you're right. Right. Yeah.
And her
spelling. We get that emotional closure.
This were a cartoon, it would zoom in.
Yep.
So Papa and Mama don't like brother to eat his breakfast too fast, which, okay.
Yeah.
Also, it's summer.
That's how you know he's a bully now, though. That's how you know he joined a gang.
But he still says yes, ma'am, to his mom.
Well, you know, he hasn't been given the club nickname yet.
Do they have canonical names? Like, is there some scene where, like, Scuzz's mom shows up and is like, Sebastian? Yeah.
No, but that's a great name for Scuzz.
Comes out, like, wait, what did she say? That she's just going to follow them through the woods.
Yeah. She follows him. She finds their basketball game. And apparently the thugs and the junkyard dogs not only have their own jerseys, which is impressive, but they also have like a referee. They also
they
have
do.
Someone there with a whistle. Like, they were right. This is real basketball.
Yeah. They don't appear to have any kind of crowd. No one is watching this.
No. This is being done purely for the spirit and the clout.
Yeah, but yeah, they all have t-shirts, which is very spooky and tough.
Yes,
to go and get shirts pressed.
They got, I guess, a friend like who's a graphic designer, because the thug shirts just have a T and say thugs, but the junkyard dogs actually have a cartoon junkyard dog on them.
This is sponsored by Too Tall's dad. They just don't want to mention it.
Yeah, we also know that they're all tough kids because they all have angry eyes.
Mm-hmm. And hats.
And hats.
That's mostly the junkyard dogs. The thugs don't seem to wear hats, but
which is funny because Vinny, or one of the, I think Vinny is the one who wears the Jughead hat.
Yep.
And but that looks to be one of the junkyard. Or is it? I can't tell. Maybe it's a thug. You can't see his shirt.
No, but that's definitely one of the Too Tall's gangs wearing that the Jughead chopped up fedora thing.
Hoopy cap, as they call them.
Yep.
The hoopy cap. I haven't had reason to talk about the hoopy cap on the show in a while, so it's nice that it's made a comeback. God, what's happening in this story? They play a basketball game.
They win.
It says a cheer went up, and I'm like, from who?
Sister behind the bush.
And Too Tall says, let me shake the hand of the newest member of the Too Tall gang. And Brother's all, huh? He looks shocked down to his toes.
Meanwhile, not Fred.
But yeah, so they're like, we don't need that twerp. And I'm like, is this the last game ever then?
Yeah.
Like, are they not going to need Fred to cover that bench?
We get a little recitation again of all the crimes of the Too Tall gang from Sister's point of view.
Yep.
They throw things into trees. They push and shove. They make little cubs cry. But she can't go home and tell Mama and Papa because that's tattling.
That is tattling. And that's the worst thing you can do.
Besides, and also, he just played basketball.
Yeah.
With a gang in the woods. Now we get to this other part of the story.
They use an expression in this part of the story that has a meaning that I don't think the Berenstains were privy to in 2001. But they refer to their secret stash. Brother says, where are we going? And Too Tall says, to our secret stash. And I'm like, oh, really?
Scuzz says, that's where we keep our stuff.
What stuff is that? Button it up, Scuzz. We don't want to give away the whole show.
So Sister hides. They keep walking by. And then Brother's starting to get nervous. And Vinny says, you got to get initiated.
What was Brother going to have to do? Beat up old ladies? Punch little cubs? Rob and steal? But there's no turning back now.
So Sister follows them.
I just want to point out that I think this is the first time in the history of the Berenstain Bears any reference has been made to the idea of beating up old ladies.
Yeah.
Like that's a vivid image.
And not just hassling little cubs, but punching them.
Punching them.
Punching little children.
Yeah.
So Sister's just clawing through bushes and brambles.
Right. Thorn bushes seem to reach out and grab her. Burrs snagged her clothes.
Because I guess they're using whatever path there is, and she doesn't want to get caught, so she's just going through the undergrowth.
Yeah.
So they stop at the remains of a spring house, which they helpfully tell you is a small storehouse built over a brook.
Mm-hmm.
Gramps and Gramps have
learned something.
I have. I would not go to Gramps' spring house because
I believe
get
Gramps,
shot, I think.
I believe Gramps lived in that spring house for a while when he split up with Graham.
Which time when she disobeyed him.
When he got jealous of her starting her vaudeville act again.
Of course.
And he left Gran and moved into their little shed.
So this one's a ruin. We hear many times that this is a ruin. This actually becomes important. Yeah. Later, but not in this one.
So she climbs a tree to see better because puffs of smoke are coming out of this room.
Again, that's not what smoking is.
And here's where
a hookah.
Here's where we hear Too Tall say the greatest line in the book, which is, that's right. 10 cigarettes in a row.
Okay, now, first of all, that's wasteful.
Uh-huh.
What we find out later is contraband.
Yes.
And two, that's, what does that prove as an initiation? That's just mean.
Right. Yeah. That, a
basketball would have been the initiation.
Brother would be vomiting.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place. Like, they would not be doing this inside their clubhouse if they've done this before.
He's coughing. Like, this is also just the first part we hear. Scuzz is like, this is the first part. I guess after that, I don't want to know what Scuzz had in mind.
You lose a finger.
Yeah. We're going to count down.
Yeah, it's so... So
like that
they're
Alfred Hitchcock, if you can flick the lighter three times.
Tie his hand behind his back. They open a wall and there's a cat in an electric room.
No, then they wouldn't be smoking.
Oh, that's true. I guess that is that's the whole point of that. Like, now you gotta quit. You gotta walk around this ledge. Sister goes to bed that night, a troll comes out of her wall.
That's why she can't sleep. That's why she's so spooked out. Because there's
a little
troll coming out and harassing her.
In any case.
So there's Brother. He's puffing on a cigarette.
And we get the greatest picture in the history of the Berenstain Bears, which
is, oh my gosh,
Brother, lighten up with Too Tall and the Gang. Look at as casual as can be. Brother looks...
He's sitting back. He's just got it, you know, between the two fingers.
He's pretty comfortable with this cigarette.
Sister's in a tree looking very disappointed.
And there are stacks of fresh packs of cigarettes around these boys. Stacks and stacks. Piles of comic books, candy bars, chewing gum. And I'm like, this place seems awesome.
I know. It's like, wow, these guys are really set up.
Yeah, I don't
smoke. A lot of stuff falling off trucks.
I'd be there for the comic books, the candy bars, and the chewing gum.
I know. It's a nice little... It's still got a roof, so if it rains or something, you're still comfortable.
Yeah.
Now the old spring house was smoking like a chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Sister's in his cloud of smoke.
She was choking. And because, as we know, that's what happens when you smoke. Smoke comes out of the nearest chimney.
And then this is a very certain, like, subset of sitcom reaction, which is that she's so upset that her brother was smoking that she runs home crying.
Yeah,
which is a very sort of Seventh Heaven, Full House, like, oh yes. No, I've seen my sibling do a bad thing.
As opposed to,
yeah.
Like, I can't wait to tell mom and dad about this.
Yeah, exactly.
Or blackmail your brother.
Yeah, or me, I'd probably be up in the tree going, smoke it up, like, and so they look up at me, and it's like, hi!
Smoke it up, brother!
Who said that? So now she's running through the woods. The woods fought her all the way. Rocks tripped her. Brambles scratched her. Branches tore at her clothes. She fell and skinned her knees. She slipped and rolled down hills. Multiple hills.
The woods do not want her to get home. Like, they are like, it's like Snow White. Like, they are like reaching out to grab her clothes to keep her from telling on the Too Tall and the Gang. Which I'm like, maybe Too Tall and the Gang, like, are that close to the spirit of the woods. Like, maybe they are. Yeah.
Those are their offerings for him. For her.
Exactly. They killed all those cubs, hung up their pants like the Blair Witch. Like, they're doing something right.
So she comes running home. She's like, no one will believe her. They'll never believe that Brother joined the Too Tall Gang. They'll never believe that he was smoking.
Smoking.
Her face is all scratched. Her clothes are torn. Her hair bow is hanging loose. Her parents are just like, what?
We get a picture of her weeping, covered in blood.
I like this return to the classic mama outfit. The look I grew up with. No vest.
Yeah, no vest. Just mama. But she was getting ready for bed.
Now this, how could you tell? I mean... So she's all torn up. She's crying. They're obviously very upset. Cause I mean, it's horrible. And she just keeps saying that she can't tell them what happened. And this is where this is sort of obviously not since the Berenstain Bears, but it's very after school special at that point where you're just like, oh, cause she keeps saying she can't tell them. Mom says you can. This is what Papa's like. Did somebody hurt you? Cause I guess he wants to go out and break some legs.
The last time Sister ran home, bloodied and with her clothes torn, was in the Berenstain Bears and the Bully, where she had been beaten up by a bully. So
that's interesting for I guess if they're too little for sort of a mean girl story, because I assume it was a girl bully.
It was Tuffy, a little girl bully who was small. But Sister learned to fight. Brother taught her how to fight. And it ended with her punching Tuffy in the face so hard it broke her nose. Oh. And then Tuffy got kicked out of school. But not before you found out that Tuffy was getting beaten by her parents at home. And then that's the way the story ends. The end. That's how you deal with the bully. It's one of the more, like, troubling Berenstain Bears books. And the reason that I actually had a bullying expert on the show for that one. Because I'm like,
yeah, that's...
this is a bad lesson.
You're like, this is for someone else to talk about. Thank you.
But so sister has been bloodied before, which is why my papa is so concerned.
Yeah.
But it does also lead to the line, Papa, would you please smell sister's fur?
Now, this is the part that really rang home to me, because that would have been my mother. My mom has a nose like a bloodhound, and you'd walk in the door and it'd be like, can't help but notice you smell like cigarette smoke.
Yeah. Also, sister is covered in fur. So this is like a dog walking into your house. That smells like
smoking
cigarette
dog. Smoke. Papa, they can't believe it. They have to keep sniffing her. And he's just like, cigarette smoke. And this, of course, is the impetus for her to tell them everything, because she can't. She's not taking this fall.
No. God, no.
She's
own
like,
up,
you know what?
Sister.
Cigarette smoke. No. Not me, brother.
Of course, she could have just been like, yes, I smoked 7 packs of cigarettes. That's why I smell like this. I got so excited smoking that I don't know, tore my own clothes and beat myself up.
That's what the tobacco does.
Yeah, it's the devil's weed.
So they, you know, it's okay that you told. Like, then we get a little lesson about how if you're helping someone, it's not tattling. Just basically like, we're going to go out in the woods. Can you find their hideout? This poor little girl, let her take a bath or something.
Yeah, do you think you can find this spring house again?
Like, no. I can't.
Like, it can't be that much of a mystery. Like, there's obviously a lot of traffic going to and from it. There's whole basketball games happening there.
And this is the kind of small town where everyone would know something like that. Like, oh, the old spring house.
Exactly.
Old whatever.
You know, the
farm.
Old spring house, Papa.
But they don't get very far because the cops are there.
Well, they're going to, first they say they're going to save that scamp from a nasty gang.
He joined that gang. Like, this is
he
it's
did.
Beyond you now.
they're going to save him from everyone else.
No, we're not going to save the rest of them, though. Sorry. We don't know you.
Fortunately, the police get involved.
So, brother gets let out because he is sick, because he's been smoking 10 cigarettes in a row and I guess eating a lot of candy, probably.
Yeah. Let's not forget to point out, though, that when they get there, all the cubs are in the back seat of the police car, of Police Chief Bruno's car. They've shoved 5 kids into the back of a police car, and they let brother out because he's sick looking.
And
because
he's brother. I mean, you know, he's a good kid.
He stinks of cigarettes and privilege.
I kind of want to, like, embroider that. But yeah, he gets it's about a cub getting mixed up with the wrong crowd. Like, the wrong crowd's in the back of the car. Like, we're going to leave them there.
Yeah, no kidding. So this is your moment where it's like, we're going to throw the book at, you know, the kids from the broken homes, I guess.
Yeah, the ones who are shooting hoops.
Yeah, who live in the woods.
He's like, yeah, sister ratted them all out already. We know all about it. Sister told him. Like, don't tell that in front of the gang members.
But then we find out they've been breaking into cigarette machines.
Where are their cigarette machines
in
this town?
It's 2001. It's
2001. Well, one in 2001, and two in this town. Who is buying them?
Who's smoking? I've never seen a bear smoke in any of these books.
And where, like, cigarette machines, from what I recall, them being, you know, prevalent, were prevalent in, like, bars.
Or
maybe,
like, at least,
like
the front of Denny's.
Exactly, like a restaurant that also served beer and you could buy cigarettes.
For our younger listeners, I don't know if I have any. For our younger listeners, a cigarette machine was a small machine that had packets of cigarettes. You'd put in your money and you would just pull like a clear knob. It was always like this sort of schmancy looking clear knob. You'd pull a clear knob and a packet of cigarettes would fall down. So even though you weren't supposed to be allowed to buy them unless you were 18, anyone could walk up to a cigarette machine. Because they were always like in the lobby of a restaurant. And you just popped it. Because you needed your smokes after your meal.
That was always a thing. Like buying that. Buying cigarettes was just, you know, you'd think about it because you're like, well, it's there. But then I was like, ah, no, oh my gosh. I could get arrested. They'll take me to my parents.
They broke into cigarette machines. They stole tons of cigarettes, which again is also like something a gang would do in like 1963.
Yeah. Are they selling these or are they just out in the woods smoking them?
Smoking. Yeah. Is this contraband? Is this, I don't know. Are they, I assume they're selling them to the other basketball teams.
They've also been taking all the candy and comics.
Yeah.
They nailed them with the goods. And he's got to take them
sent
in.
They're going to be sent to juvie because they're going to be seeing Judge Gavel, who we've met before. And then brother gets sort of a talking to.
Mm-hmm. Sister's just like, I wonder what's going to happen to them. Meh.
But all that happens to brother is they make him promise never to hang out with Too Tall or smoke again.
Thanks, sister.
And then brother has to get a lecture from their local doctor telling him smoking is bad.
Ugh.
Do I have to talk to Gert Grizzly about it? I'm like, yep. All right. Like, do you need your family doctor to talk to you about cigarettes?
Again, yeah, no, not in 2001.
Right. Like, we've been through this. Like, this is...
Do they not have, like, I don't know, DARE anymore?
Do they not have Nickelodeon? Do they not have, like, every children's anything? I don't know. It's just, it's wild. So, yeah. Like, I don't think brother was smoking because he didn't know cigarettes were bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not why kids start smoking.
Well, that's the issue with any of this sort of when you try to put, especially when it's animals, because it's like, okay, well, what's translating over? Like, do they have places where people are buying these cigarettes? Apparently, like, we've never seen anyone smoke. I don't know how a bear would smoke. I don't know if their mouths, like their snouts, work that way.
I mean, they can whistle. They can.
That's true. Whistle. It's like this. I think at least manages to maintain certain standards for all of the, you know, walkie talking animals. My daughter recently became very fond of a movie version of the Maurice Sendak Little Bear.
Oh yeah.
Which is, in those, sometimes they're all wearing clothes. Little Bear, no clothes. He meets a bear that lives in the woods and everyone is basically like, ooh, a wild bear. Do you know what houses are? And it's like, whoa.
Right.
He's also a bear. You are a bear. He's
but
a bear,
they have
you're
like
a bear.
Friend. They have a friend who's a human.
There was no human in this, but they have...
Oh,
like,
the books there is.
Yeah. There was like a cat, and it's like the this, where it's like the cat can talk, but is clearly not like the bears.
Right.
It's their talking
like,
pet.
Like the hen.
Yeah.
The hen is just a hen, and there's a duck. But the mama wears like a dress.
Oh, yeah. Like a full-on like pioneer.
See, at least in the Berenstain Bears, like... The Berenstain Bears all wear clothes. Like the clothes, everyone's clothed. Mm-hmm. They don't. They all consistently don't wear shoes. They refer to their fur. Like they are aware that they're bears.
Yeah.
But they are anthropomorphized enough. That there's no confusion. Also, they don't run into any other bear.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, we're out at the zoo, and there's a bear
there's
that
a
lives
lot
there.
Of, like, there is a lot of confusion as to like the hierarchy of animals in the Berenstain Bears world, because like we said, they have a pet dog. But sometimes other animals will show up in clothes and, like, talking.
Really?
And
I only remember when, well, the pandas.
The pandas. They had the neighborly skunk, who was a regular on the cartoon. But, like, neighborly skunk. They had the beavers moving next door. This family of rabbits. In the baseball one that I did just a few weeks ago with brother, like, his team was, like a fox and a rabbit.
Like
and...
And, to be honest, I don't like it.
Which also was like, but no one on the Little League team was a fox or rabbit, which meant that like the Little League team was bears only. And like the other kids had to like play out in the woods.
Uh-oh.
So
it's sort of like when you start realizing on something like Daniel Tiger that he's the same size as the humans that are his friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I can't stop and think about this.
And his father was a puppet who was very small.
Yeah. Well, now he's grown up and he was... He was raising himself in that clock.
In that clock, yeah.
When he was young, but now he has a father who is a French sailor. So we have a lot of theories about Grandpère.
Also, Lady Elaine Fairchild stopped looking like a witch from your nightmares and just started looking like the funky lady down the street.
Exactly. She just became like the cool art teacher.
But I've talked about this a million times, but it's the whole like once you start introducing different species of animals, especially if you start referencing like discrimination against different species of animals, it opens up like a weird.
Yeah.
You can't use animals to represent races because animals are different from each other. Like rabbits and bears are different animals and they behave differently. And so like when they're like, those rabbits are going to reproduce like crazy. And then they do because they're rabbits.
Like, yeah.
And that happens in the book. And you're like, yeah, they all have lots of kids because they're like by a lot. So it's not a good one to one.
No.
Fortunately, this isn't about race. This is just about the wrong crowd.
And stealing cigarettes and basketball and bullies.
Not learning your lessons because the only ones who got in trouble were the gang. Brother got in no trouble.
He's got to go watch a video at the doctor's office.
He was a jerk the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
He smoked. Like he did. He may not have stolen the cigarettes himself, but he partook.
Yep, he was a willing participant in all of this.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I'm not saying that the cops should have been involved in the first place, but it clearly shows that there is a hierarchy when it comes to who gets taken to jail in Beartown and who doesn't. And it's going to be the son of the present parents. Although Two-Ton Grizzly in the other chapter books would have been on the scene, and you know that Bruno is in Two-Ton's pocket, so like Two-Tall's out of jail like
a
flash. Two-Tall's been to juvie for dealing drugs, and he has been sent back to school, so he'll be fine.
Well, Teacher Jane has no spine.
She has no spine.
I guess don't do it again.
And Teacher Bob, who is Two-Tall's teacher, is just the worst. Like, he puts up with everything. Just everything. He'll send Two-Tall to the principal, but, like, it doesn't stick.
That's not a good... Teacher Bob, it's Teacher Jane and Teacher Bob. It's just very... Like, we run the after-school program, so we just want to be cool. We just want to be your friends. I'm Teacher Jane. It's Teacher Bob. We're just all going to hang out. Like, no, you gotta have discipline. You have gang members.
There is a literal gang at your elementary school. And you're powerless against them. So that's the Berenstain Bears and the Wrong Crowd. Not my favorite Stepping Stone book, but it's got the
ends with Sister's Notebook again.
Oh, yeah.
She takes full credit and says, finally got brother straightened out. I think I'll keep him.
But she misspells straightened.
Well, she's just little.
I felt that was unfair to Sister to have her like misspell a word on the last page.
It's also a very, like, I don't know that if a, I don't know, 7-year old, I don't know how she's supposed to be, was writing straightened. I don't know that that's how they'd misspell it. It's very like, it's a backwards F because a kid wrote it.
Right. It'd be more like S-T-R-A-T-E. Yeah. N-E-D, like straightened.
They wouldn't have, like, you know, the H.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
I assume that she got that expression from Papa Bear.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'll get you straightened out.
Oh, boy. That's what she was hearing after the cops left.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We closed the book, but that's not the end of Brother's story. Shouldn't he, like, at some point apologize to Cousin Fred? Like.
Oh, Fred's just gone. He's.
Yeah. Like, that's your best friend. But I have to recommend this book for one reason, and that is because there's a delightful picture of Brother smoking cigarettes with the wrong crowd. And I do want an embroidery of that. And I would hang that on my wall. I just want a little like just a nice little image of Brother smoking cigarettes with Two-Tall and Smirk and Scuzz and Vinny. Because that to me is like what the chapter books do best is they put you in situations you never thought you would find yourself in with the Berenstain Bears. To me, it would be a more interesting book if Brother had started smoking because, like, Cousin Fred got him smoking. Because Cousin Fred had started smoking, like, because of the stress of school. Like,
Cousin Fred is definitely, he's the guy who, like, bought, like, a hookah off Wish and is like, look at this.
And then his mom intercepted it, and she's like, "What's this?" And he's like, "It's a playset for my space grizzlies."
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, "Well, okay."
It's made out of glass and shaped like a wizard.
I'm learning about other cultures, Mom.
It's for novelty purposes only. So, if you like the Berenstain Bears in the Wrong Crowd, the original 2001 book, you are out of luck, because this book is long out of print, and you're going to have to buy it online from a nefarious seller, or from like ABE Books or whoever. Like, you're going to have to buy it used. I think I found my copy for like $3. I mean, I like the illustrations. I like Sister getting all ratted up, and of course, the holy picture of Brother Smoking is, I cannot explain to you how much
he's so casual with it.
He's
like,
so good at it. He makes it look so like, good.
That's why they can't have, you know, cigarette ads anymore, because people were just too attracted to it. And it's like, yeah, if you're looking as cool as Brother.
No kidding.
Like,
yeah, wow. you start smoking, you can join a good basketball team. You get 4 brand new friends.
You get to hang out in the woods.
However, if you want to buy the Berenstain Bears and the Rowdy Crowd, which is the Living Lights, a faith story with no faith, there is no faith in it at all. No religion, nothing has been added. If you want the Living Lights version, it is very in print. It just got published this year. So you can buy that anywhere. Like, that's just fine. And you do get the wonderful change to the end of that one. You get the change of that, but it's almost all the same illustrations. You lose the smoking, but you get this you get the most intimidating chocolate eating you've ever seen in your life. So so that's it. That's the Berenstain Bears and the Wrong Crowd. What a weird book. Well, Megan, where can our audience find you if they're looking for you?
Well, I am the co-host of Let's Get Weirding, which is a Dune podcast where my friend Bo North and I are reading Frank Herbert's Dune series chapter by chapter. We just finished the first book, Dune itself. So we are on a little tiny bit of a break, and then we are coming back with Dune Messiah. And we are also just about to launch a little sideshow where we are rewatching Lost. And that is called We Have to Go Back.
Yay. Any life lessons you've learned from Dune? Berenstain Bears-esque life lessons?
Drink water. There's one I can translate over.
Even if it's water that came from your own pee pants.
You know, recycling important.
It is. You know, sometimes I'm like, I really kind of like those suits. I could just sit around all day in one of those suits.
I don't know if that's a lesson you're supposed to take away, but I can respect it.
The cool suits. That's what Frank Herbert wanted to push the whole time.
Those cool suits. I just had a vision of these suits, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll write a whole world-building experience around them.
Awesome suits that let me drink the pee. I mean, it's, you know,
process. It's processed.
It's good desert pee. Dune. So yeah, Let's Get Weirding, found wherever you find your favorite podcasts and shows. And it's also on Twitter.
Yes, we're also at Twitter at WeirdingPod, and I'm on Twitter at MP Sunday, where I mostly just sort of talk about Mothman. So
yeah. And I'm at BerensteinBearcast.com. I'm also on Twitter at BStainBearcast. Or if you want to find my personal Twitter page, it's at P. Corey Gonzalez, I think. Is that what it is? I think it is. At P. Corey Gonzalez. I had to actually just look because I never type it in. So if you're looking to talk about the show, either chat on the shows, or you can yell at me on Twitter, at my own personal Twitter. That's where I usually am these days. So otherwise, I'm on Patreon at patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. And Megan, thanks for being on my show.
Thanks for having me. This was
Thanks for agreeing
a book about smoking in the woods.
About smoking in the woods. And I hope everyone out there is, you know, being safe, staying safe, taking care of yourselves, taking care of your mental health, doing what is best for you. Remember that that, you know, with everything going on, I hope that you are taking care of yourself and not hiding in the woods and smoking cigarettes or eating contraband.
Or eating candy,
unless
yeah.
That is your form of self-care. So take care of yourselves. Be good to each other. And I will see you all next time deep in bear country. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Don't go out in the woods and smoke cigarettes.
Hey, if that's what people want to do with their lives.
Like, who am I to tell people not to go out in the woods and smoke cigarettes?